Thanks for spending time with Fusion Community Church through our podcast. These can be accessed anytime through iTunes or on our website, fusioncommunitychurch.org. We hope you enjoy today's message from Pastor Andrew Fetter.
Everybody that plays such a significant role. And I just want to share, if you're fairly new in the life of the church, and maybe you've been to Starting Point Cafe, maybe you haven't been able to make it yet, I want to encourage you to move that up to the top of your priority list. It's a great time, but it's also an opportunity to kind of bridge some friendships, some connections with other people in the church. And we're actually going to talk directly about how that relates to our lives today. We've been in this series of breaking free from hostage situations, and we've reflected upon movies, and we've looked at, you know, good entertaining things that kind of hearken us back to an idea of being held hostage against our will. And so often we think we are against our will, that we can't do anything to possibly overcome this, but the reality of what God's Word says is something quite different. You ever feel like no one could possibly feel what you're feeling? You ever feel like the world is in the dark on what you're actually going through? Like maybe no one else has ever experienced what you're going through? Like no one else really truly gets you? Like there's not a connection with another person? Have you ever been hurt by someone you had a relationship with? And you've been hurt so deeply that maybe many years later you're still carrying around that baggage. And maybe you look at your life and you just wonder, how can this ever be repaired? How can it ever be reconciled? Maybe you wonder if you could ever trust anybody again because you were so betrayed by someone that you trusted and someone you thought loved you. Maybe even now it's decades later and the remnant of that experience you still carry with you all the time, afraid that if you get too close to people, it might turn to bite you again. Maybe your past hurts and helped you kind of form a bad habit of keeping people at arm's length away, thinking it's safer if I keep people to safe distance more than risk getting hurt again. Well, we're in this series looking at God's Word and what He has to say is true about creation and the power of the truth. In John chapter 8, Jesus says this, which has kind of been our overarching theme of this series. If you hold to my teaching... Remember, every time we read this statement, I want you to kind of have this idea of hanging on a ledge, clinging to life, to something, that if you let go, you're going to fall to your death, okay? If you hold to my teaching, and at times it's hard, then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Jesus says, very truly, I tell you, everyone who sins is a slave to sin. Now, a slave has no permanent place in the family, but a son belongs to the family forever. So if the son... capitalized representing Jesus, the Son of God, sets you free, forgives you, you will be free indeed. Now, God has an enemy. We've kind of been talking about that. Someone who would like to keep you trapped. Someone that would like to keep you quarantined or keep you isolated from the truth. Because in isolation, the truth cannot break through that exterior. And you'll be held hostage to lies. Now, here's one of the biggest truths about life on planet Earth that we could ever learn, maybe the most valuable of all. And it's one word that I would say actually all of heaven and earth are built upon. One word, in fact, that Jesus came and he said, this one word summarizes the Bible and everything in it. If you focus on this, it will literally change your life. And if you learn to understand the power and harness this one word, you'll experience a more fruitful life than you ever could have imagined before. And it's simply the word relationships. Jesus says that in the Great Commandment. He says, love God and love each other. Love God and love each other. Relationship with God and relationships with one another. See, all of creation, all of your life, and the quality of your life will be determined by how much you learn and experiment and experience in healthy relationships. In order to have a relationship, it requires we resist the urge to isolate ourselves. Think about it. You've seen Jerry Springer and Maury, right? You've seen it as you've been channel surfing. And you can be honest, like me, it's such a train wreck, it's hard to turn the channel again. You turn to it, and you're there for like 8 seconds, and you're like, what am I doing? And then you turn it again, because it's a train wreck, and you kind of rubberneck to see what it is. The only reason the people are on those shows is because their life is a train wreck. I think that's the application. You basically just ask you, is your life a train wreck? Yes. Okay, when can you be on the show? You know, I think that's kind of how it works. Because all they do is draw attention and highlight and glamorize these toxic relationships, all this hurt, all this baggage, all of this brokenness. And you wouldn't really wish those on your worst enemy. Think about it. Your eternity hinges on relationship. It does. Your eternity hinges on who you know. That's what the Bible says. It's not about what you know. It's not about what you've done or haven't done. The Bible says the condition of your relationship with God at the moment of your death is what dictates your eternity. Do you know God, or do you keep God arm's length away? Relationships are everything. So if this is true, that relationships are truly that important, this means that your relationship decisions are also the most important decisions you'll make in your entire life. We often think that we'll make difficult decisions in life, and we actually think that those decisions we make that will impact our lives will actually cause our lives to be blessed or cause our lives to be cursed. But that's not truly the issue. Who we surround ourselves with is more important than anything we do with our lives. Think about the decisions you've made in your life, what career you should choose, where you should live, whether or not you should relocate the family for work, whether you should live in the country or live in the city, whether or not you should buy a house or rent a house or rent an apartment, whether or not you should buy a new car or buy a used car, whether you should quit the job that you're in the past or stick it out through the hard times, whether you should have more kids or stop having kids at 11, whatever it is, all these questions, they're important. But ultimately, who you choose to walk through life with is far greater significance than any of the other decisions you make. For instance, if you're married and you're considering a move, relocation of the family to another state because of work, if your marriage is stronger and healthier than it's ever been, then whether you stay or go, you're going to be okay. Because the foundation upon which every other decision needs to be made, the home, is solid. If you receive a diagnosis of a sickness that requires immediate treatment, or if you're surrounded by a committed family. Are we getting a little ring out there, Glenn? Okay, I just wanted to make sure I wasn't too far in front of the speakers. So if you receive a diagnosis for a sickness and it requires immediate treatment, maybe your life is hanging in the balance. You may say, well, do I do the treatment? Do I not? Do I go this route? Do I go the experimental route? You have all these decisions to make. But if you're surrounded by a family that is supportive of you and you're tight and they will carry you to the moon if they have to, then you're going to be okay. Because regardless of what decision you make, the most immediate circle that you're surrounded by is committed to you and sold out for you. If your teenage daughter comes home and tells you, Mom, Dad, I'm pregnant, and you're enveloped in a circle of loving, focused friends that want to lift you up and lift your family up, then they're going to help you navigate that journey together, and you're going to be okay. But see, if anything shocks your system in a way, whether you saw it coming or whether you didn't, if anything shocks your system and your relationships aren't as healthy as they could be, you're going to find yourself more isolated and unable to be able to work your way ahead one step at a time. You're going to feel alone, and you're going to feel like it's all up to you. You're going to feel like there's no companions there to come alongside to encourage you, to affirm you. And the road ahead will be much harder, much more difficult, and it will be much longer than it could have been if your relationships were healthy. Now, you know this is true. You know this is true because when I run down this list of all these things, what career you choose, where you should live, and situations under which you live, you know that the most influence in your life in those decisions has been who you surround yourself with. See, the people you invite into your life have the greatest influence in your decisions. Jesus even gave us a promise directly connected to our relationships. And he ties our relationship with him to our relationship to each other in one sentence. It's pretty profound. Jesus was clear in describing this promise, and he revealed that there must be a focused intentionality to our relationships, that they have to be centered, focused on him. Check this out in Matthew 18. Jesus says, whenever two or three of you come together in my name, I am there with you. Now, you may have heard this verse 1,000 times. You've never really thought about it. But think about the power of this statement. He directly ties the great commandment, love God and love others. He says, whenever two or three of you come together in my name. So tie into that horizontal relationship with each other. And then connect it with your purpose being that vertical relationship with God. I am there with you. Jesus says when we make a choice to gather in his name, that he shows up in a special way that he isn't present in when we're all by ourselves. It's a fascinating thought. That's why for some of you, you thoroughly enjoy coming to Fusion on Sundays. You feel so encouraged. You feel lifted up. You feel like you can face the coming week and all the stress that's coming your way. You feel like you can navigate the schedule between work and family life and all the demands on you. Because God has so moved in your life here in this place, and you've just been so lifted And often we start to think that something special happens on Sunday mornings. But I'm going to kind of ruin some of your fun this morning, okay? I'm going to kind of give you a peek behind the curtain at the wizard, okay? I told you in this series we kind of faced some truth that maybe wasn't real pleasant to swallow. But here is your behind-the-scenes look. The reason you sense something special when you come to church here at Fusion, it's not because the building is so great. It's not because the worship team is so great. It's not because the baked goods changed your life. It's not because the coffee's free. It's not because of the greatness of the ministry that exists on the other side of this wall with our children and toddlers and infants. And it's not because me or any of the leadership brings anything special to the table. It's really not. See, the biggest reason you keep coming back is because Jesus is faithful to his promise. Because as we continue to gather, we make the focal point about him. He's going to show up in an incredible, incredible way. And you know what? He can do that in your life on Mondays and Wednesdays and Thursdays and Fridays in the morning, middle of the day, at night, in the middle of third shift, whatever it is. Every Sunday we continue to meet in his name, he continues to show up in a special way. And see, our goal then as a church is to stay focused on him. That's how we relate to him. But how do we relate to one another? Well, with everything that we do on Sunday mornings, the goal is to remove barriers that often we allow to creep up in our experience and faith with Jesus. That's why we feed people. That's why we give them coffee. That's why we have people in the parking lot to create order out of what would be chaos without any lines out there. That's why we have people greeting and smiling as you come in the doors. We do that intentionally. It's why we give kids a wow experience beyond that wall. Because we don't want people to come in with insecurity and anxiety and fears about God and about a church and about a holy place and all these expectations and all these preconceived ideas in their minds. We don't want people to be in bondage to that. We want them to come through and say, wow, it's like they're expecting me. Wow, they're giving me coffee. Wow, they're feeding me. Wow, they're taking care of my kids. Wow, my kids loved it. Wow, the music wasn't what I experienced. Wow, the guy was actually a little bit funny that shared the message. Wow, this was good. We want people to leave with this anticipation. We want these walls to crumble before people that they hold up against God. Because we know God is here in a special way. Now, this is really why life groups exist. This is why serving teams exist. That's why if you're a follower of Jesus, you need to spend time with other believers outside of this place here. Did you know that this same sense of God speaking to you here on Sundays can happen throughout the week? Maybe you've never experienced that, but you don't have to wait for next Sunday. You can experience Jesus even more often and more intensely than you do here in this place. See, Jesus wants you. He wants that relationship. He's craving it. He's begging you to spend time with him and to spend time with brothers and sisters in Christ. And he's promising if you'll go deeper with one or two, whenever two or three of you gather my name, I'm there. If we go deeper in relationship with others, then our relationship with him is going to get stronger and deeper as well. The two are inextricably linked and tied together. So the question then is, well, why is Jesus so interested in our relationships? Why is he so interested in us not being isolated from the people around us? I mean, does he know what I've been through? Does he know the hurts I've experienced? Does he know the people that have betrayed me in the past? Yeah, he knows. So why is he so interested in putting us together with other people that are Christians? And some of you may say, I don't really like Christians. You know, they're not my cup of tea. I'd rather hang out with people that aren't Christians. Well, why is this important? The answer is simple. Because real life change happens directly connected in relationships. That's what we see all throughout the Bible from cover to cover. Why is Jesus so interested in relationships? Because real life change doesn't happen if you just attend worship services on Sunday mornings. It doesn't. It happens in community. Now you may say, well, I show up on Sundays, I'm a part of the community. Yeah, you can be a part of the community in a room with 150, but you can't experience community with 150 people. There's a difference. James 5:16 draws special attention to this very deep, very profound truth about community. And this is what it says, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. I mean, there's kind of this unspoken expectation here that if we want to experience healing from our sins, from our mistakes, from the betrayal of others, from forgiveness and issues of the past and baggage that we carry forward, if we want to get healed from that, then what this is saying is we have to be involved in relationships deep enough with somebody that we can confess what's going on in our lives and the mistakes we've made so that we can pray for them and they can pray for us so that that'll lead us down the path of healing. Now, you know this is true because there's many of you, and this may have been going on for years in the life of the church. You've been coming to church for a while now, and you feel better when you're here. Maybe it even boosts you till about Tuesday afternoon. And then you begin to feel deflated again, defeated, depressed, frustrated. Now, if this is you, My challenge to you is probably because you're coming on Sundays and then you're going about your week all by yourself and you're isolated. That's why the enemy is getting such effective attacks on your life. It's because you're not taking more time that's required as a follower of Jesus to more deeply connect with brothers and sisters in Christ, to develop and experience community. You know, when you attend church here, you're a part of a community of faith. You have a name, you have a face, and you take part in what goes on here. But it's not until you make an intentional pursuit to build relationships, to bridge them here, and then meet together outside of here to encourage and affirm and hold accountable and pray for each other. It's not until that happens that you really experience a community of faith. Jesus tells us if we'll be intentional about our gatherings, then he promises he'll step in the middle of that gathering and he'll take it to a whole other place. See, the temptation in our world today is to go at life alone. We've talked about this so many times in the past about independence. We crave and we worship this idea of independence as a nation. And it's not a bad thing, but we have to be careful that we don't allow that to be the focal point of our relationship with God. Well, this is my relationship with God. It's my walk with God. It's not anybody else's. And that's true. It's your decision to follow God. But God created you to be a part of a community, a part of a flock, a part of a body, a part of a family. So we can't isolate ourselves away from people as much as we don't like it or resist it. And there's five reasons. Here's just five simple ones that I think why we resist and why we choose to isolate ourselves from people. The first one is ignorance. In other words, there's some of you today, you genuinely didn't even know how badly you needed relationships. Like this is the first time that you're really looking at it from this perspective that, you know what, I need people in my life to affirm and encourage me to pursue my walk with God. Maybe that's why you get so caught up in repetitive sin and habitual sin, because you don't have anybody speaking into your life to keep you focused on your becoming holy as God is holy. And some of us are just, we may know it, but we're stubborn and proud enough that we actually think, you know, we can handle this thing called life on our own. We can do it by our lonesome. Well, you can't. You can't. We can so easily allow our pride, our assumed intelligence that we have it all figured out, and even our past experiences, we can allow them to lead us to believe we don't need anybody else's help on the planet. And this is a lie of Satan. See, the devil wants to keep you isolated, backed up against the wall, away from people. And away from completely being changed and transformed. The second reason I think we often don't do it is because of personality. We use this as an excuse. Some of us will say, well, you know, I'm just not wired that way. That's not my temperament. I don't want to sit around and talk about my feelings with people. I don't need a shoulder to cry on. I'm not needy. I'm not one of those people. There's something that we often will reflect upon here at Fusion that pops up every now and again. And it's this idea that God loves you just the way you are as you come in through the doors. If you feel like your life is all a mess and you're just looking for hope and direction and you think maybe God has something to speak into your life, then that's true. But God loves you exactly how you were, whoever you are, coming through the doors this morning. But he loves you way too much to leave you that way. He's got so much more planned for you. He's put so much more potential within you. As human beings, we will sin. And sometimes sin will cause us to be proud. And it will even cause us to redefine our identity because of our sin. And in so doing, we'll actually prevent God from making our lives better, from changing us from the inside out. Now look at Jesus. If you have any respect for Jesus, maybe you're this morning and you're saying, I don't know that I'm a Christian yet. I'm still kind of exploring this faith and what you have to say about God and what the Bible means and how it applies into my life. And that's okay. But if you look at Jesus, if you have any respect for him, any props that you give to Jesus for carrying sin, for what we claim that he carried for us and paid the penalty, I want you to look at the very first thing he did when he arrived on the scene and began his ministry. See, the very first thing he did was he started a life group to walk alongside him. Now, here's my question. If he went out and immediately found 12 guys that he could say, okay, you guys are my life group, we're going to live life together. And then out of those 12, he selected three that would be his closest inner circle to encourage and affirm and support him in this journey God had laid out for him. If his first thing was to bring other people to him and he's the God of the universe, how much more of a priority does it need to be for us to be intentionally connecting with brothers, to connect with sisters in Christ? See, I would say the excuse, well, that's just the way I am. It's the way I'm wired. That's not good enough. If Jesus needed it, if Jesus needed that support and encouragement in the Garden of Gethsemane to know the disciples were praying for him and they fell asleep and he went back frustrated, why aren't you praying for me? If the God of the universe needs that in the flesh, how much more do we need it? The number three thing is fear. Now, let's be honest, especially you guys in the room. when a pastor gets up and starts teaching about the importance of relationships in our lives, you're like, oh man, I don't want to sit in a circle and cry on each other's shoulder. You know, I don't want to hold hands and sing kumbaya. You know, I don't want to be giving a bunch of guys hugs. That's just weird. Well, if you're honest and you can identify with that fear, I want to share you a little something from a stand-up comedian named Tim Hawkins. It's just a riot about worship and how guys deal with it. Go ahead. Now, guys, if you can feel that, would you just grunt with me? Yeah. Watch the game with me, Lord. No talking or questions. Now, when we talk about relationships, I'm not talking about ooey-gooey relationships. I'm talking about real relationships. I'm not talking about sitting around hugging each other. I'm not talking about crying together. There's times for that. There's seasons. But guys, if you're really honest, you value relationships just as much as women do. It's just we don't really refer to them as relationships. We don't really have a term for it, but if you're a guy, you like to grab a pizza. You like to play a round of golf. You like to sit and watch a baseball or football game. You like to fire up the barbecue. You like to work out. You like to remodel your home or do a project. You like to ride your Harley or go camping or go out on a boat or leave town with the snowmobiles. You like to put on your fishing vest with all the funny pockets and your funny hat. And if you're really honest, you like to do those things along buddies. You do. Most of the time, you want a buddy to do it with you. Or you want somebody to compete against. Right? That's how guys are wired. We sometimes get fearful when we talk about relationships because we think that it has to look like relationships the way that women do them. And women, you have your own fears as it relates to relationships. You're afraid of whether you can trust somebody. It doesn't actually have to look toxic like maybe some of your relationships in the past. But we can allow those fears to cause us to build a wall with people and pull ourselves behind it. The fourth one is insecurities. This involves that risk of exposing the real you to another person. See, oftentimes because of past experiences, some of us have been burned relationally. And that leaves us kind of gun-shy about pulling the trigger on letting someone else in close. I know there's many that are here today and you're still wounded relationally. I understand that feeling. I've experienced it myself. And if we were all honest, we all have. We've all been wounded deeply by close friends, things that have been said about us behind our back or people that have said we said things that we never said. That happens. And we're the victim of it. But I think if we were truly honest, there's times where we're actually the catalyst of it. And we've hurt relationships with others, and it's been our fault. Here's the problem. If you're a follower of Christ, then you're gonna tell God, if you build this wall of insecurity, say, I can't let anybody get close, can't let anybody see the real me, I don't know how they're going to react. I did this before, and I'm a little scary to do it again because I got hurt so bad. If you build this wall, then you're basically telling God, God, you cannot improve my life any further. Because life change happens in community. The fifth thing is busyness. See, all of us have the same number of hours in the day, and we have to choose the wisest way to invest them. So you think about your schedule and the demands on your life, and immediately you're kind of maxed out, and you think, you know, I just don't have any time for anybody else. I've just got to focus on work and focus on the family. And here's my question. What if because you're so busy, so preoccupied, so isolated, what if that is actually the cause of the frustration in your life? What if you had a small group of two or three guys or two or three gals that you could meet with on somewhat of a regular basis, that maybe they would actually bring clarity to the schedule and help you prioritize things slightly differently through some tough conversations? See, you can spend your life chasing more money and chasing more accolades professionally. You can chase a better degree or a better home or a better car. You can plan for a better retirement, but be careful because if those become your target for the majority of your life, then when you reach them, you'll be left alone reaching them and no one else will want to go with you. Now, I believe every single one of us today, we can sit back and we can somewhat connect with every single one of these five lies that we buy into regarding isolation. We've all been there. And we can be that guy pounding on the glass, isolated. We don't really like being isolated, but yet at the same time, sometimes we're hesitant to really trust and step out in relationships with others. Just run down this list. Ignorance. You know, there's been seasons in your life, relationships that you've taken for granted until they're gone, right? There was someone that you knew that died far earlier than they should have, and now you realize how precious relationships are. You were ignorant prior. Maybe it's your personality and you use your personality as an excuse because you're afraid of letting people too close or you're insecure because you were hurt in the past. Or maybe you allow busyness to be your excuse where you just say, I don't care enough to prioritize time. I don't really believe what Jesus says and what the Bible says about community. It's really what you're saying. I don't believe all the Bible. Well, in answer and challenge to all these excuses or reasons why we justify isolation and allow ourselves to willfully lock ourselves in a prison and throw away the key, held hostage to feeling distant from each other. The Apostle Paul helps us to see something fresh. If we're Christians, how God designs us and calls us to be connected to each other is something the Apostle Paul talks about in Romans 12, a great chapter. In verse 5, he says, "So it is with Christ's body. We are all parts of his one body, and each of us has a different work to do. And since we are all one body in Christ, we belong to each other, and each of us needs all the others." We're parts of his body, and each of us has a different work to do. Think about it. This is how our church functions. There's a myriad of different ministries that you could be plugged into to serve in according to how God has wired you and what you're passionate about. We have specific roles to play on the team, specific positions. And what's fascinating about this within the creation of the church that God brought about is that every role, every position is of equal value and importance to God the Father. Are you saying that the greeter is just as important as the person bringing the message? Absolutely. The person baking the food and spending time with our kids right now is just as important as who's playing on the worship team? Absolutely. See, if you're a greeter on one of the greeter teams, raise your hand. You're in the parking lot, you serve at the door. Okay, quite a few people. There's always room for more. If you like to smile, that's a place for you. Those cool guys that put on the orange vests in the parking lot. Today, there was probably someone. God's favor on this church has been incredible. There's probably somebody that came through the doors today for the very first time to experience Fusion. And maybe throughout their life, they've never felt invited, never felt welcomed, never felt loved, never felt like people were waiting for them to show up until today because you were there and you were smiling. And God can use you if you're in giving him your best. He can use you in a way far more profound than any other person that they'll meet or greet today because of that first experience. If you're on the baking team, how many of you are bakers? You're the ones responsible for the extra weight I put on. Thank you very much. You'll get my bill for new clothes. Anyways, today there was probably somebody that walked through the door and their only experience or understanding of a church is that churches bake things to sell them so they can pay the bills. And then they came to Fusion and we gave them great stuff for free and we actually leave it out there and let them go out and get more and gave them free coffee. That means that God changed their paradigm of what they understood church to be. And it was a gift. You might have done more to build inroads into somebody's heart and help them break down walls than I could today. If you serve with our kids in one of the children's ministries, then God can use you to make the personal life impact in the life of a young person that I won't be able to. Because God will connect you with a young boy or young girl that you can pour into that I won't be able to. If you're the person that cleans the toilets or takes out trash on a regular basis, the way you worship God by caring for this place helps us provide a certain level or standard or expectation that our church building is going to be clean and we're going to give our best to God. See, these are just a few of the areas that you can sign up to be a part of. And they're not just things that, oh, we got to check this off and get it done. This is things where so many people in the life of our church are weird. We've talked about this. We're weird because people do this with great expectation and excitement. They do it thrilled because we see the value of all these roles that God has placed us in, these passions he's put within our hearts. I mean, I know my wife, she, and I didn't ask her permission to share this, but she gets thrilled by cleaning the house. I don't get it at all. I don't know how her mind works that way. But like literally the girls go down for a nap and she just loves it. And there's a sign up sheet outside if you'd like to schedule her to come to your house this week and clean. But she, I think it's part of that maternal thing, the home and caring for the home. And she gets such satisfaction. That's how God's wired her. And that's something to celebrate. Paul tells us we're parts of Christ's body, the church. And each of us, we have a different work to do, different position to play. So Fusion is your home church. My question to you is, what position are you actively playing? Now you may be thinking, okay, this is just his way because we need more help. No, we're doing pretty good. But this is one of those core values for us as a church. If you are not serving, no Christian, no follower of Jesus in the Bible was given permission to excuse themselves from serving. You won't find it in the New Testament. Everybody has a role, a responsibility to play, especially in that culture where they had so little. It took so many to provide for the needs of each other. We're kind of spoiled in our culture today because we have so much available to us that we can kind of think, oh, there's somebody else to do that. But maybe God's laying it on your heart. See, I'm not talking about this because you need to sign up and find a place to serve and make you feel guilty. That's not my goal at all. It's as you sign up and serve shoulder to shoulder with somebody else that relationship will deepen. And we can't even begin to fathom the ways in which God has put two people together on some of our serving teams. And those have become lifelong friendships. for the last few years, and they'll continue long into eternity. See, the greatest way to break free from isolation is to pick up a broom. It's to hang out with some kids and make them laugh. It's to turn on a vacuum cleaner or throw on that cool orange vest and step out into the gravel and bring order to the chaos. And then let God take care of the rest, just putting you beside people all together with this mission, this purpose of reaching one more person for Jesus at any cost. If you do that, you will experience the best that God has planned for you. Because you don't want to get to the end of life and realize that you've squandered your life and you've missed out on God's best. Because God's best could actually be sitting in the seat right behind you this morning. Let's pray. Lord God, we thank you so much for relationships, Lord. So much for relationships. In every facet, God. Acquaintances and friends and close friends and family. And parents and kids and brothers and sisters and cousins. And husband and wife, the ultimate description of Jesus' relationship to the church, marriage. God, we thank you for helping us and bringing clarity through your Son to what truly is most important in that great commandment, love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And the second is love your neighbor as yourself. That this reality about relationships and valuing relationships above everything else, above all other pursuits, God, it's what keeps us free from isolation. Because isolation may feel fine when things are going okay, where we don't have to rely on people or trust in people, and it's all up to us, it's all on our shoulders. But God, when the bottom falls out of life, we need people. God, help us to see that while things may be going okay for us, the bottom of life is falling through in someone else's life in this very room, and they need people alongside them. So if God, for those of us who right now are experiencing great health and great blessing by God, Lord, we need to be an asset to those who are struggling so that we can reach out and lend a helping hand. God, I give you praise and glory that Fusion is a generous church. God, sometimes it's so easy to throw money in an offering. Lord, I know last week we had that love offering, and between both our services, just shy of $2,000 came in. God, just blows my mind. $1,700 and some came in to families and people that are hurting by this congregation. And Lord, we give you glory for that. We know that we can't outgive you. We could give you everything we have, and the gift of grace in your Son is far superior to anything we've got to give back. God, help us to be generous with our time and with our energy as well. To give of ourselves for others, knowing that there will be seasons, God, where we need to receive from others. Lord, please allow no one to leave this place today thinking it's okay to remain isolated, thinking it's okay to stay back from people. But God, give us a renewed desire and intention to leave this place and resolve it in our minds to pour ourselves into others. Doesn't mean we pour ourselves into 100 people, 2 or 3. That we can go deeper in that relationship with them, with you being the focus, so that we can go deeper in relationship with you, our Lord and Savior. And it's in your holy and precious name we pray. Amen.